Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening over the phone and also on the radio later in the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this beautiful sunny Sabbath, March 31st, 2018. This is our review for our lesson 250. This is part 2 of the chapter 53, The Last Journey from Galilee, part 4. Our opening hymn is entitled, The Savior Teach Me Day by Day. Savior, teach me day by day, love's sweet lesson to obey. Sweeter lesson cannot be, loving him who first loved me. With a child's glad heart of love, at thy bidding may I move, prompt to serve and follow thee, loving him who first loved me. Teach me I am not my own, I am thine and thine alone. Thine to keep, to rule, to save from all sin that would enslave. Loving, loving finds employ in obedience all her joy. Ever knew that joy will be loving him who first loved me. Teach me thus thy steps to trace, strong to follow in thy grace, learning how to love from thee, loving him who first loved me. Loving him who first loved me.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. May we humble ourselves for opening prayer. Our most kind Father, we thank you this evening here and morning over there. We uplift and uphold you, Lord, as we come to fellowship together. We pray that you come and be among us. Minister through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, whatever we are going to read, whatever we are going to learn, whatever we are going to share, may it find a beautiful fertile soil in our hearts so that germinates to bear fruits in these last days. Lord, may you be among those who are going to praise you forever and ever when Christ comes the second time. May the blood of Jesus be sprinkled onto our lives so that we are perfected for eternity. Touch whoever is going to speak before us in this fellowship. This is our humble prayer. May it be answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, dear God. The scripture that we are going to begin with is to be able to ask every single one of us to let us serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Not only with singing, but also our testimonies and our question. Psalms 100, verse 2 from the King James. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week? Before we hear your question, dear ones, let's take a few minutes to review what you have read last Sabbath from part 1 of our lesson entitled The Last Journey from Galilee, part 4, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to begin the paragraph, blah, blah.
Desire of Ages, page 489. The true witness says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Every warning, reproof, and entreaty in the word of God or through his messengers is a knock at the door of the heart. It is the voice of Jesus asking for entrance. With every knock unheeded, the disposition to open becomes weaker. The impressions of the Holy Spirit is disregarded today. If disregarded today, will not be as strong as tomorrow. And on the slide, it repeats Revelation 3, verse 20, King James Version. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And also, there's a reference from Hebrews 3:15, King James Version, and it says, it is the voice of Jesus asking for entrance, and it has the verse, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. And the picture that shows a hand outstretched, it says, accept Jesus today. And continuing on the next slide, please. The heart becomes less impressible and lapses into a perilous unconsciousness of the shortness of life and of the great eternity beyond. Our condemnation and the judgment will not result from the fact that we have been in error, but from the fact that we have neglected having such opportunities for learning what is truth. Desire of Ages, page.
Desire of Ages, page 490. Like the apostles, the 70 had received Jesus answered, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Desire of Ages, page 490, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 490. The sins of the past and the future were presented to the mind of Jesus. He beheld Lucifer, who was first cast out from the heavenly places. He looked forward to the scenes of his own agony when before all the worlds the character of the deceiver should be unveiled. Next slide, please. Continuing, he heard the cry, "It is finished." That's from John 19, verse 30. Announcing that the redemption of the lost race was forever made certain, that heaven was made eternally secure against accusations, the deceptions, the pretensions that Satan would instigate. Desire of Ages 490, paragraph 2.
Desire of Ages, page 190, continuing. Beyond the cross of Calvary with its agony and shame, Jesus looked forward to the great final day when the prince of the power of the air will meet his destruction, and the heart so long marred by his rebellion. Jesus beheld the work of evil forever ended, and the peace of God filling heaven and earth. Desire of Ages, page 490, paragraph 3. And on the bottom left slide says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. Revelation 20:10.
Henceforth, Christ's followers were called Satan as a conquered foe. Upon the cross, Jesus was to gain the victory for them. That victory he desired them to accept as their own. Behold, he said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Desire of Ages, page 490, paragraph 4. The omnipotent power of the Holy Spirit is a defense of every contrite soul. Not one that in penitence and faith has claimed his protection will Christ permit to pass under the enemy's power. The Savior is by the side of his tempted and tried ones. With him, there can be no such thing as failure, loss, impossibility, or defeat. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. When temptations and trials come, do not wait to address all the difficulties, but look to Jesus, your helper. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Desire of Ages, page 490, paragraph 5. And on the slide. First trials and temptation. And it says, thoughts from James 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. And also it says, have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. There are Christians who think and speak altogether too much about the power of Satan. They think of their adversary. They pray about him. They talk about him. He looms up greater and greater in their imagination. It is true that Satan is a powerful being, but thank God we have a mighty Savior who casts out the evil one from heaven. Satan is pleased when we magnify his power. Why not talk of Jesus? Why not magnify his power and his love? Desire of Ages, page 493, paragraph 1. And let's find it. It says, fill your mind with God's words and your will, and you will have no room for Satan's lies. And it says, what a mighty God we serve. A mighty fortress is our God.
Desire of Ages, page 493. The rainbow of promise encircling the throne room on high is an everlasting testimony that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. It testifies to the universe that God will never forsake his people in their struggle with evil. It is an assurance to us of strength and protection as long as the throne itself shall endure. Desire of Ages, page 493, paragraph 2. On the bottom slide it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Amen. And on the bottom slide it says, and on the other one it says, Hebrews 3:5-6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And our opening verse for our review this Sabbath is taken from 1 Peter 3:15 as a reminder. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. With this verse in mind, we hope and pray that if anyone have any question, that we may be able to ask the Lord to direct us, that we can be able to search the scripture according to the law and to the testimony to kind of help the little ones and even ourselves to be able to be better guided in the Word of God. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? Now, dear ones, it's open for any one of the little ones and even mommies and daddies. If they have any question, bubble up.
Have a question. We just read in the scripture that we as Christians put the power of Satan higher than the power of God. Why is it that we always seem to do that?
There's a response in the room. It says, flesh takes over where faith should. When we do live in the flesh, the things that we know is the things that we will always resort to. If the Spirit of the Lord is in the heart, we will look towards heaven and look towards God to be able to give us the strength that we need. But it seems that any time when we look to ourselves, the ruler of the flesh is the one that will be given the reason. So we need to be able to always, even though that we are living in the flesh, the scriptures say we must live in the spirit. So we may always go to God for not only counsel, but also to know how to better handle the situation instead of keep giving the enemy. It's like a type of praise whenever we always look towards what the enemy can do and what he can do. Based on the study, we know that we have a greater God and the heavens to be able to help us in whatever battle. So the enemy is a defeated foe. That's what the Lord tells us in the Holy Word. And in order for us to show that, we need to be able to be reminded by thus said the Lord, what we supposed to be praising instead of what the enemy can do. Elder Rob says Isaiah 1:18 and also Zechariah 6:4. Let's take a look. Isaiah 1:18 reads, "Come now and let us reason together, say the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." In the spirit of prophecy, for the verse says, the whole heart must be yielded to God, or the change can never be brought in us by which we are to be restored to his likeness. By nature, we are alienated from God. Amen. The Holy Spirit describes our condition in such words as these, dead in trespass and sin. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. No sounding in it. We are held fast in the snares of Satan, taken captive by him at his will. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1, Isaiah also 1, 5, and also 6, verse 6, and 2 Timothy 2:26 also give us the reference. Continuing, it says, God desired to heal us, to set us free. But since this requires an entire transformation, a renewing of our whole nature, we must yield ourselves wholly to him. This is taken from Step to Christ, page 43, second paragraph. And the other verse was also given. Zechariah, I believe, 4:6, it reads, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord of hosts." And also, the reference from the spirit of prophecy, for the verse says, human power and human might did not establish the church of God, and neither can they destroy it. Not on the rock of human strength, but on Christ Jesus, the rock of ages, was the church founded, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. According to Matthew 16:18, another reference. The presence of God gives stability to his cause. Put not your trust in princes nor in the Son of Man. It is the word that comes to us, according to Psalms 146, verse 3. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Isaiah also 30:15. God's glorious work, founded on the eternal principle of right, will never come to naught. Amen. This was taken from Patriarchs, I think, and Kings, page 595 and 596. And also, dear sister, shared James 4:7. It says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If there's any other question, bubble up.
Who are the 70 disciples?
Thank you for your question, dear brother. The 70 disciples were other followers of Christ that became very close to him and were chosen to go forth two by two in spreading the gospel throughout Samaria as well as in the towns surrounding Judea. So they weren't among the 12, which were specifically chosen by Christ, but they were those that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and they had an earnest desire to share the truth with others.
Meanwhile, if any one of the little ones are trying to be able to think about the questions that they have or even the testimonies. If there's any scripture song or hymn that you would like to share, you could bubble up at this moment.
Well, a scripture song comes to mind. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalms 100, 1 through 5.
Amen. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason. For the Lord that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, dear ones, we want to thank everyone for the questions that they had. And also, may you continue trying to find some of the questions that you would like to have in the next section of our study, which is to you. We have the privilege to continue searching our hearts to be able to know more about the truth. We will give our dear brother Dick also an opportunity to be able to have any one of the little ones, mommies and daddies, that have questions concerning the section of the story time. So, bubble up.
All right, boys and girls, any questions about the study last week or the story last week? I know when I was your age, I couldn't invent a question if I tried, so I won't feel too badly if you don't ply me heavily with questions. Our story last week was about a brother that stays closer beside you than your brother, your sister. Any of you have brothers and you like to run around with your brothers and do things together? Well, my brother and I still do. We're 75 and 78 now. So when we were little, we liked to run around together and do things. But there's a brother that sticks closer than a brother, a friend, and that friend is Jesus. That was Proverbs 18:24. I don't see any questions popped up here in the room, so I'm going to go through and kind of recap the story and redefine a few of the words. There was a big word that started out this story called disappointments. And that's when you get your hopes all up. Oh, my, something as good is going to happen, and it doesn't. Then you're disappointed. That's a disappointment. Well, some people think that to be in the presence of a king or a queen or a president is really something. But what do you think about being in the presence of Jesus? That would really be something. As they say, these presidents, kings and queens all put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do. So they're nothing special. But Jesus is our creator, and he died to give us life. Oh, let's see here. Did I get a question? How would you teach the little ones to deal with disappointments, especially when they are just babes in God's Word? Well, let's see. To teach little ones, you tell them stories of other people's experiences. And that also helps for grown-ups. when somebody is disappointed with something, you tell them what kind of a fulfillment of the hopes, of your hopes that you receive from God. Yes, we can lose things to the world if we're not careful. I think about my adopted grandkids down in Colombia, and I pray every day that when they go to the university, that they are reflecting Jesus' character before their friends and not copying their friends, because it is a world university. Tell them about Job. Who was Job? Oh yeah, he's the fellow that lived before Abraham's time. And he was a good man, and he prayed every day, and the devil didn't like him. And so God allowed the devil to give him some trials, some bad trials, big trials. The devil wanted to kill him, of course, but the Lord said, no, you don't touch him. You can deal with his things. So the devil moved upon the neighbors to come in and steal all of his animals, and he even killed his kids, which was bad. And instead of Job giving up his faith and saying, this disappointment is too big, I can't take it, I'm going to quit honoring God, quit serving God, he said, though God slays me, I will trust him. Now, that's what we have to do. We have to have faith in God and believe in God, even if we lose our lives. That's a hard thing to think about, but that's a hard trial. But when the trial was over and Job was faithful, God gave him twice as many animals and another family. And he was rewarded. He's a good example of those who would have faith or lose faith. And of course, even his wife lost faith, and she told him, why don't you just curse God and die? Why? He said, you foolish woman, he gave us everything. Why should we curse him? And he was faithful. Now let's see. What's a counselor, children? Oh, okay. A counselor is a person who tells you how to stay out of trouble. Do you have any counselors in your home? Mom and Daddy should be good counselors. A lot of people think that because they don't want to believe in Christ, that he was human, because if he overcame, then they have to overcome too. And it is said that Jesus was perfect. And if he was perfect, he obeyed his parents at all times. Can you do that? It seems like a small thing to obey your parents, but then self gets in the way, and you want to do your own thing. And Sister White says that self, under the general heading of selfishness, comes every other sin. In other words, any sin we commit is the result of selfishness. We would rather eat between meals than obey God, who says, don't eat between meals. We'd rather watch television than study our Bibles. And God's word says, wherewithal shall a young man or a woman or a boy or a girl cleanse their way? In other words, become like Jesus. Well, now I forgot the rest of the verse. But anyway, we've got to take heed to God's commandments. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's Jesus. Be faithful to him, and he will take you home. Yeah, thank you, Bob. Taking heed thereto according to thy word. In other words, obeying Christ's or God's commandments. Let's see if did I miss any other questions up here? Let me roll this window up out of the way. Whoops. Well, I guess I did it. No, I don't guess I see any other questions I missed. So anyway, have a wonderful afternoon. And don't forget, Jesus loves you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick. And I know it's very difficult indeed, especially if the person of that babe is not necessarily a young one in the faith, but a child. as in months old. I know it was very difficult for me to be able to kind of talk to Joshi about disappointed, but what I had done is that I had to meet him where he was. There were certain things that he liked and certain things that he would like to enjoy. And at that moment, if something that he was playing with got broken and he started to cry, and he would come to me and tell me, and I will use the word as in, are you disappointed? And because they don't know what disappointment is, so they have to have something to relate. If they cannot relate to what it is, then they cannot try to apply what it is that you're saying. We give a lot of the stories. We give a lot of the different things that we learn in the scripture. But because they're so young, we have to be able to let them relate to something that they have. Just like Jesus. When Jesus was trying to give them the word of the kingdom, he had to actually speak about something that they could relate to. If they couldn't relate to it, then the Lord had to bring them something to do so. So it's just the same thing, how the Lord had to bring things them to their remembrance, something that they was already aware of, that they can be able to understand it, just like the parables. When he said the kingdom of heaven is likened to, he gave them something to relate, something that they have done in their life or something they were doing, to kind of bring them a little bit to what he wanted to teach them. And I just wanted to share that concerning what happens to me when Joshi was very small, and it was very hard for me to be able to relate things that he didn't understand. Okay, if there's any testimony that anyone would like to share, you can be able to bubble up. And after, if I have any response, I would like to touch upon a question that was asked by Brother Josh last review. Elder Rob have given a reference from the Spirit of Prophecy, and I just wanted the family to be able to know that also in the same book that we are reading, the same statement was also in it. And the page 188, paragraph 3, that Brother Bob had also shared with. But I found something very interesting. This is where my testimony comes in. I really enjoy when there is questions and answer, because it helps us to be able to explore things that we would have never even touched upon if someone would not ask about. So I'm also learning, and I really enjoy that. Sabbath blessing to all the dear brethren that are coming in. He asks, how long have the Israelites been enemies with the Samaritans? I have found on our study book, Desire Ages, a section that it does relate to it, but it also gave something very wonderful. It took the Lord to also come to be able to kind of remove that wall of partition that was between the Jews and the Samaritans. And I just would like to share it with the room. So if any one of the dear ones would like to read along with me, you could bubble up. There is a section in Desire Ages, page 188, paragraph 2. It's just a section to relate to the question. It said, the place of worship has been a subject of contention between the Jews and the Samaritans. Some of the ancestors of the latter people had once belonged to Israel, but because of their sin, the Lord suffered them to be overcome by an adulterous nation. So for many generation, they were intermingled with idolaters whose religion gradually contaminated their own. It is true they held that their idols were only to remind them of the living God, the ruler of the universe. Nevertheless, the people were led to reverence their grave images. Ancestors are usually your family that are you can tell me, because I speak Spanish, so I believe ancestors are like my descendants. Is it right, Elder Rob, or everybody can you, because, you know, my Spanish is, so, I, okay, predecessors. Okay. Brother Dick said our grandparents. Yeah. Continue. When the temple at Jerusalem was rebuilt in the days of Ezra, the Samaritans wished to join the Jews in its erection. This privilege was refused then, and a bitter animosity grabbed up between the two people. The Samaritan built a rival temple among Gerizim. Here they worshiped in accordance with the Mosaic ritual, though they did not wholly renounce idolatry. But disaster attended them. Their temple was destroyed by the enemies, and they seemed to be under a curse, yet they still clung to their tradition and their form of worship.
Titi, do you want to just finish that blue thing and then I'll start the next paragraph?
They would not acknowledge the temple at Jerusalem as the house of God, nor admit that the religion of the Jews was superior to their own. So we had mentioned the Samaritan experience, the Samaritan woman experience at the well. And I just want to be able to share what actually was the conversation that they had that touched upon the rival that the two people had in the past.
Amen. Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. In the answer to the woman, Jesus said, "Believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus had shown that he was free from Jewish prejudice against the Samaritans. Now he sought to break down the prejudice of this Samaritan against the Jews. While referring to the fact that the faith of the Samaritan was corrupted with idolatry, he declared that the great truths of redemption had been committed to the Jews and that from among them the Messiah was to appear. In the sacred writings, they had a clear presentation of the character of God and the principles of his government. Jesus classed himself with the Jews and those to whom God had given a knowledge of himself. Desire of Ages, page 188, paragraph 4. Amen.
Amen. So what I have taken from this question was how beautiful the Lord not only came to be able to free all of us from our sin, but even came to bring settlement concerning a long dispute that they had between the people, and truth was the only thing that was able to settle it. When the Samaritan woman's heart was settled, she was able now to become the vessel of God to go and share it with their brethren that may be continual in the same circumstances. And I also noticed that in the New Testament, do you notice that a lot of the miracles, especially on the different people that the Lord had helped, was somewhere connected with Samaritan people? I just found that to be so remarkable, and I wanted to be able to share this. And it's the same thing that is happening between churches, between different type of doctrine. The truth is the only thing that we have that can be able to settle, and it depends on the heart. Because if the person received the truth, then they will be able to take what is true and continue on to kind of settle the dispute and to be able to bring people to what exactly Christ came here for, and it was to be able to save them. I just wanted to share that testimony on this question that was asked. So, dear ones, please bring all the questions that you may have on the story, and also if you have any other question, that we all may be able to learn and see what gems the Lord have hidden. So what with Jesus, dear ones, and we have come to the ending of our review. We hope and pray that you were blessed. So next week we will continue with part 5 of our lesson entitled The Last Journey from Galilee in our study book, The Sign of Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, Babula.
If we could kneel and bow our heads and our hearts, our Father, we thank you for in the Spirit that have this blessed day. We thank you for in the Spirit that wakes up this morning. We thank you for in the Spirit that have another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins, our iniquities, and our Christ like spirits. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong, you set with thy will. I pray that you may be with us as we continue in learning the things of you. Let us avoid all temptations that the devil may use against us. Let us be able to also be kind and be selfish, noble, reverent, and discerning, let us also be kind to one another, forgiving one another. Let us be able to also be always thinking of others before we think of ourselves. Let us be able to also keep in mind that you always did help us no matter what troubles you may face. Let us be able to also keep on giving praise unto thee. Let us honor thee more than anything else. I pray you may be with our brethren where they may be, where they be traveling or at home or let them be able to also be safe from all the trials that they may be able to face against, and also any other conflicts that the world may throw at us. Let us also avoid all the temptations that the devil may use against us. And we love you, Lord God, looking forward to being in the land you promised us. This is my prayer and each person. Amen.
Amen. So next week we will continue with part 5 of our lesson entitled The Last Journey from Galilee. And that will be held on April 7, 2018. That will be lesson 251. So have a blessed Sabbath, dear one, and a peaceful one.